Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Down the blind, Andrew Johnson. Inside for Elba. Elba will score! Elba will score! Newcastle has won!
Welcome back to Beers and Breakevens, heading in to round 7, and the King is back on top. It's been a couple of weeks, but I am high-flying once again, bringing in my 5'8", T. Williams. How are we doing over there in my shadow, mate?
Sorry, mate. I thought you were good with numbers. I wasn't aware that 6,300 was a better rank than 5,900.
Oh, fuck. Am I not in first?
No.
Oh, that hurts.
Idiot.
Back on top for this week. We'll take it. Fuck that guy. Kat, how are we?
You've been humbled at some point every single day since SJ followed you on Instagram.
Yeah, it's been grim. It's been grim.
I thought you were particularly chipper this morning. I'm like, yeah, you beat me this week's score, but I'm still beating you in your rank.
Yeah, I'm a big this week. It's been a good week. I'm enjoying it. Maybe I got a little bit ahead of myself. I'm happy to wear that. Now, Kat.
Yeah.
Just give us a little bit of an insight. You had a pretty exciting day yesterday.
I did. So those who are in the NRL space should know, thanks Helen, the Bronson Sherry kind of viral moment, because he's been going to Pilates with Helen for years, but she posted a story of him a few months ago and then it went viral. Well, I was lucky enough to visit Helen at Pilates in Sync in Menai for the catch-up episode next week. So I interviewed her. She's got a wall of fame in there, guys, that has Sean Johnson. I actually don't want to give away too much, but she's worked with big names in rugby league, Olympians. She's worked with footballers, as in soccer. She's worked with so many different athletes. So I got a bit of insight into all of that. And then she also kicked my ass in a bit of Pilates and I was mic'd up for it. I was sweating through my top. Guys, there's no way I can edit this or I'm going to look good. So just hopeless.
Were you happy with your photo for the wall of fame?
Oh, soft spot, that one, because I did ask her. There was a nice little spot there just for my photo and the answer was no. She said, I'm not an athlete.
But they put her on the wall of shame, unfortunately. Well, that'll be on the catch-up next week. You'll be able to watch that. I haven't seen any of that either, so I'm very...
Yeah, you went there, but I did have a couple of DMs saying, when's Guru going to do the Pilates?
Don't hold your breath.
Would you do it, Timmy?
Pilates, yeah, I'd have a crack.
All right. Helen, she did tell me, though, for the record, that she gave me exercises that she gives her elite athletes and I wasn't terrible. So I feel like...
I'll take that.
That's a win.
I'll take it.
Yeah, and she deals with some of the best.
Yeah. Her thing to me was, you go to the gym too much. I can tell that you're just, you know, you need to just be stretched out a little bit. And
gym
I was like...
junkie.
What can I say, Helen? Gym junkie, like you said.
Tis the life.
Side note one for the real niche Simpsons diehards. Ketchup. Ketchup. Meaning coming.
Love that. All right. Let's have a look at the About Even League Kathmandu.
Let's do it.
How do we go this week?
I know how this
Because once again, me and Timmy can't see it on our Supercoach app. So this is the only way we find out how we're travelling. And of course, Tom and Eddie don't say anything to us because we're normally beating them. Yeah. So they never bring it up.
I was tagged in one on Sunday night, so I'm aware of how my result went. But
who were you tagged? Who?
One Matthew, the water boy.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Bobby Boucher.
Yeah. Well, you only hear from people when they beat you. So, yeah. Which is why I was very loud in the chat.
In Matty's defence, he did it pre-game. And you get to results shortly, but let's just say he needed Atta Mariota to score 47 to beat me.
Oof.
Spoiler alert, Atta Mariota scored a try. Carry on.
He knocked up like a 70, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go with Guru Grizzlies. You beat Hines Hounds, which is Thomas, in your head-to-head. Your overall score was very good this week, 1,280, but he got 1,234, so... He wasn't too far behind you there.
Tobler, yeah.
Still sounds like a fucking loser to me, but well done, kid.
Tobler.
Okay, Kuma Stallions.
I have no idea. I think so.
Okay. Mm. Yes, I think so. Kuma Stallions, 1,208 was your score this weekend. It unfortunately wasn't enough to beat Matty the water boy, who got the score of 1,231.
Oh, it's the simple things in life.
Some would say that I got hammered.
If you want to talk about a hammering, I'll talk to you about my head-to-head, which was against Big Day Boys, which is Tom, the Tom from Tom and Eddie.
Yeah.
And I scored just a decent score, 1,274, and he didn't even break into the thousands. He got 955.
Is he still active?
Don't think he is.
Mate, he talks to me about it every Wednesday morning.
No, stop.
Yeah.
So he is. And he's
doing his best, Burma. Got to love and appreciate
him. How'd Eddie go?
Eddie in his head-to-head. Let me have a look. Edward, the dribblers. He one sec. I didn't expect this question. And now it won't
Rattle
load.
Rattle stations.
It won't load.
Rattlesnake over there in all sorts.
All right, let me talk the overall scores first and then we'll tell you how Eddie did. So, Guru Grizzlies, you're still up. Your total score is 6,386 and you're only leading Kuma Stallions by 7 points. Kuma, you're on 6,379.
Oh, have you written down your total points instead of your rank on this document?
I have no idea.
That rank? Would make more sense.
Oh, maybe I have. God, I hope I have. Yeah, that's my total score. My rank is 5,678. So I am beating you after all. Yeah. All right. Cool.
All right.
Where's that crown?
That's what happened.
Thanks for coming.
And then.
Yeah. You're a piece of work.
Just so you guys
Not only
as
do
well.
I have to do your trades for you, but I have to teach you how to actually play the game.
Guys.
Damn it.
Also, once again, know that no one asked, but I've moved up to fifth now.
Nice.
And overall score is 6,255.
Yeah, coming good, Kat.
So,
yeah.
So us three are in the top five of that comp?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where are you placed? You two?
I'm 5,900.
Where are we on the ladder, Kat, in the about
So first is still Cody, followed by Guru Grizzlies, followed by Kuma Stallions, followed by South Coast Sharks.
Yeah.
Did we work out who that was?
I think that's Seba.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Seba was
followed
fine.
By the Rook.
Okay.
Yes.
We need to lock up the top three.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
We need to start making
Sebo's on a downward spiral by the looks of it.
Without a doubt.
Cody, Cody is in a good spot though. 6,528 total score.
Not bad.
He's got a few meters on us.
All right. So my score on the weekend, 1,280. I've now got a rank of 5,617. I've used two boosts. I think I've got 36 trades left. Where are you sitting, Timbo?
Yeah, 12.08 for me. I am 5,937th overall. I saved a trade last week. Very happy about that. I've used two boosts. So I actually thought my 12.08 would maybe be like maybe a steady or potentially a slight drop. Went up 1,700 spots. So
dang.
Shows that, yeah, your two's week was very good.
Yeah,
So, yeah, not
– how many trades? Oh, I've got 36 left. Can't remember what I said before, but I've got 36.
I'm 36 as well.
36, cool.
Which is good, very good.
Yeah. Kathmandu, where are you sitting? Give us the rundown.
Do you remember, just flashback to when I was in the top 51%?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. That hurt. I'm now ranked in the top 4%. We love it.
Are you really?
Yeah. Wow. Well, actually,
funny what
that was
when you make trades.
Just my score for this week. So 1,274 I got this week. My season rank is 14,925, but my rank change was 13,954 spots.
Fuck
so
yeah.
With 40 trades to go, work. And I've used just one boost.
It's rank. It's so rank. I back that. Had to convince her to go James Schiller last week.
You didn't have to really. You no. twisted my rubber arm, let's be real.
Oh, mate, it was a metal arm. I had to do some yards, believe me. Hates a trade. all right. Let's should we dug into – let's do the weekly winner for this week. Should have opened this before I started this because we know that the old intranet
can take its sweet
time. What did I say?
Dug.
Dug. Good gear.
Let's dug straight into it.
All right, so beers and break-evens. We've still got our overall leader there, the Savage Burbos. That's our Savs. Shout out to him. Gone through a couple of trades though, old Savs wanna.
Look, he's gone hard early by the sounds of it, potentially out of boost. But look, when you rank there, I'd be happy to have used five boosts and be sitting 22nd, wherever it is. So fair play.
Yep, fair play to him. Should be noted, the guy coming second overall in beers and break-evens, his team name, it's Cam. He's got – his team name is Little Penicini, which if you read it, nice cat. Kind of sounds like a little penis for those playing at home. But a special shout out to him. He actually was our top scorer this week. Wow. So that put him all the way into second place, wow. 1,431. So Cam, send an email to beersandbreakevens@gmail.com. For the love of God, put your home address on there. We're 7 rounds in and already someone's forgotten to put their home address.
Do you know what it reminds me of? Those rom-coms where people just get in the cab at the end of the movie and go, oh, take me home.
Take me home, yeah. Matt.
Like everyone just sends you an email and says, I won. Can't wait for my prize.
We have had a couple of – and I haven't even spoken to you about this. Well, I have spoken to you about this, but it's all been confirmed now. We've got our Steedon footballs that are on the way, Timbo. Yes. They're coming, which is sensational. My man Slade at Steedon, he's making them as we speak. But our hats this year. Now, last year we did the blue hats with the Beers and Break-Evens logo. This year we've flipped it up a little bit. We've got green hats with the blue logo, which we're going to actually sell them to you guys as well. But I've had 30 of them made up that say 2024 weekly winner on them as well. So they're going to be really cool for you guys to get your paws on. So we should have them in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And then the footballs are another 5 weeks after that. So you have got a little bit of a weight on your hands, but they are all coming out to you and the hats will have something a little bit special to them this year.
That's going to be a tough day at the post office, that one.
Sure is. Yeah. And guess who's doing it this year?
Yeah, I know.
Old Wimmy Tilliams, old Roo's there at the post office last year, slaving away. And I learned a lot of things last year about the post office and the best way to do it, and I'm going to share none of them with you. So enjoy that.
Are we going to clip up this post office chat for socials?
Or? I hope so. Shout out to the girls at East Lakes Post Office doing their very best work. All right, let's get stuck into team list Tuesday. Thursday night, we've got the Roosters taking on the Melbourne Storm, Allianz 8 p.m. for the Chooks. James Tedesco back in. Manu moves back to centre. I'll be honest with you, Timmy, I am stoked that I don't have to think about or deal with Manu playing fullback anymore.
Oh, if Manu was like an extended run at fullback, he'd have to be in every team. Like, he scored about 117 last week at fullback. It could have been 117 in base potentially. Like getting away with 117 was remote. He'd average over 100 at fullback, wouldn't he?
I would assume so.
Or bloody
so.
Close to it.
When playing fullback?
If he was at fullback all year.
Yeah, but you know what? We've spoken about this before. I don't know if he'd be able to do this all fucking year.
When he gets his odd game there, it's different.
When he gets the odd game and he can just go nuts, sure. Yeah. But man, 27 weeks of back-to-back 30 hit-ups.
I actually think... It's a fair call. At some point, your body's got to say, no more. Yeah. Put me back to centre.
I'll tell you what, though, from going from 30 hit-ups to that week signing with Japanese rugby where he's going to get 3 touches of the football a month, it's going to be a little wake-up call for Manu. I reckon he's going to hate it. I reckon he'll be back very quickly. Egan Butcher on the Pines, Sammy Walker on the extended bench, one to watch there. Melbourne Storm, big talking point. Joe Chan on the bench. I think I'm still not overly confident Angus Crichton is a locked in to our effort, the Roosters, just knowing Robbo, but this puts me a little bit off the great Sean Bloor. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, Bellier loves an 80-minute back rower. Like, we know Ellie will go, he's 80, Bloor, whether he does or doesn't. He played 80 last week, but he hadn't before that. Do we think that Bloor – can Chan play through the middle?
I would say that he could. I mean, it's only going to be limited minutes if need be. It was interesting listening to Craig Bellamy saying last week that the plan wasn't for Bloor to play the full 80, but he just got better as he went, so they left him out there. Interesting. So, yeah, I still don't think Bloor's a bad buy by any means, but I think ideally you want the guy that you buy out of Bloor Angus to probably turn into a keeper, ideally.
I think the difference is I do not think Sean Bloor is a keeper even with 80 minutes. I think he's a good cash cow that will score well in the process. Crichton could absolutely be a keeper. Like, I'm with you in that with the amount of back rowers and edge back rowers in particular that the Roosters have at their disposal, I think Crichton keeps his 80-minute role long term, but we know how quickly that can change, especially if the form turns a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm not confident, but I do think he'll keep his 80 for the majority of the season, and I think he can be a keeper, whereas I don't think Bloor will.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And we'll talk about Angus more throughout the show, but like Satilli's out this week. Satilli hasn't really done himself any favours, in my opinion. Wong's gone back to reserve grade. He's playing 80 minutes, but he's playing lock. Like, they're not even playing him on the edge, so... I want to say I think Angus is sweet, but we've just been burnt by Robbo in the second row so many times.
Current team makeup, Docker, Clay, White, Butcher, May. Like, he's playing 80 minutes this week with that bench. So, yeah, I really like Angus this week.
Nass also returns to the Melbourne Storm. Friday, got the Dragons and the Wars from Wynn Stadium. Lomax returns to centre this week. It's only going to be a one-week thing. To me, I'm very keen on buying Lomax, and I don't love this, but I have just got to remind myself that it's a one-week thing. I think I am going to buy Lomax still. Yeah. I think this will scare a lot of people off, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, well, it's the double whammy, isn't it? Back to centre and against the Warriors.
Yeah.
One of the best defensive outfits in the competition. So we'll have a good chat a little bit later because I've got a lot of hammer money that I can spend, and I'm keen to get your thoughts. Feel free to be honest with me and not steal me some shit.
I will not be honest with you.
But I think you're right, mate. Like, Birdie, what, concussion last week, so he'll be back next week. So it is only a one-week thing. So while this week's matchup becomes far less appealing for him, he's back to the wing next week. He's got a relatively low break-even. I think it's about 26 or so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, I think if you're keen on him, the move to centre shouldn't deter you.
For the Wars, no big changes here. Laban on the bench, Adam Pompey on the bench there as well. 8 p.m, we're going to Darwin, the Eels versus the Dolphins. So what, I was out at Parramatta on the weekend. Timmy and the coaching staff, like all the social media team and everything, they're going up to Darwin for this one. And boy, oh boy, are they excited.
What a fun weekend.
They're ready to rock and roll. Shout out to Jamesy and G Fitz out there. For the Parramatta Eels, Blaise Tlungy on the bench. I don't have him. We both sold him last week.
Yeah.
Yep. So are you happy if you got Blaze? I don't know.
I saw the report come through that he was set to be picked before team list dropped, and I went, damn it. And I was like, I'm not going to say I was shocked, but I was like, oh, I might come in at centre for Harper again or something. Then when I saw him on the bench, I just went, yes, because he –
There's actually a world where he now comes off the bench for the next 4 weeks, loses the money – like goes lower, then we can buy him back in 5 more weeks when he gets a spot in that team, which would be ideal.
Like, he's got a break even of 6. He has a 30 from his last start against the Raiders. He could come on with 2 minutes to go and get 2 and lose cash.
Yeah.
I think barring an injury in the side, I think he could either play 0 minutes or he could come on for a few minutes at the end of the game.
Yeah, I think there's every chance he plays 0 minutes in this one, for sure. For the Dolphins, Trey Fuller gets his opportunity at fullback. Maxi Plythe in the 13. Sean O'Sullivan on the bench is an interesting one, but probably the biggest talking point here, mate, no Tommy Flegler. A lot of people were waiting to see if he would get named. Hurts.
Yeah, frustrating one. And what makes it even worse is it's like, ugh, you know, you think he's probably back next week. Like, he was literally named last week. You don't really want to sell him because, like, he comes back and he plays good minutes and just plug that front row forward hole perfectly. Like, if he's back next week, you hold, but there's not been a lot of confirmation on when he's back or
nothing.
What would you do? Would you be selling?
I haven't had a good look at the situation, if I'm being completely honest, but Surely if he was named last week, he can't be too far
away.
And
you add in, we'll get to the Doggies shortly, but and I know Sammy Hughes is just causing headache after headache, but he had his 70-odd a couple of weeks ago. Granted, there was injuries in the game. Last week he scored, I think, mid-30s, and he had the sin bin, and I think it impacted his minutes as well. He's been named to start this week. Maxi King's on the extended bench, so we'll see if that continues. But the minutes should be at least be half right for Sammy Hughes. So if you can plug Sammy Hughes in as your second front row forward, hold Flegler a week, you know, saving your trade in the front row.
Mate, I think there are going to be so many people out there that at the end of the season they're going to look back at how many trades they used on front row forwards they didn't fucking want, and it's going to make them sick.
One of my ones this week that I'm like – great buy, your boy, Willison. Mm. I'm just like, I'm not using another trade on bloody front.
No way. No, I'm stoked to have Willison because I had him from the start, but I would not be using it. No. This is why last week I just went, fuck it, give me AFB. I'm done. I don't want to do this shit anymore.
Well, I've got Curran and Terrell May at the moment. I'm like, as long as they're fitting on the field, which can obviously change at any time, I'm just like, I'm just running with that until I have to change anything.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Jeez, I spent a lot of time getting that dual position. I haven't even used it yet. He's still in my 2RF current. All right, Saturday, Super Saturday, Penrith v Tigers, 3 p.m. at Carrington Park at Bathurst. For the Panthers, Scotty Sorensen back on the edge, still no Nathan Cleary. Mate, I think we've both got pretty similar mail over the last week or so. I'm hearing more and more that this could drag on with Nathan Cleary, potentially.
It's had such big repercussions on Supercoach because anyone who held him is sitting there, who held so patiently for this great run of games that they have coming up, the Panthers, starting with the Tigers this week, are going, damn it. But then there's also the people, and I've had a few questions come in with 500K in their bank going, they had it ready for Cleary. Like, do we just spend it or do we wait? Or
it's tough.
It is tough. And I think my advice is spend the money while spend it's there because if this drags on, you've got that cash sitting there.
I think as well, like with the position that we all find ourselves in, like I'm holding Cleary, but if you ask someone that has
you're
sold
still not
him,
Cleary.
It hasn't hurt me yet. It really hasn't. Like I'm going to hold him. That's going to be a spot where I save a trade. But I think if you ask someone that's got, you know, 500K, as Timmy said, spend it. Like you've got Strange money, you've got Galvin money, you've got
you'll find a way
Schiller
to Cleary.
Money. You've got so much cash coming in.
You'll find a way to Cleary when the time comes.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, I think you spend it. I think there's a couple of CTWs that are worth grabbing over the next week or two. So for the Tigers, Brett Naden at centre. Galvin returns at 5'8", thank God. Mm. Bateman on the edge and both Finus named on the bench as well.
I'll tell you one that I've always wanted to own him, but there's never been confirmation around his role. He's back from injury this week. He's bloody good looking. Plays for the Panthers. Scott Sorensen. He's 676K because he averaged 66 last year. He missed round one due to injury, I think it was. So he played 60 minutes for 44 points. Got injured in round three against the Broncos, so only played 50 minutes. So he's going to drop a ton of cash. Lobbing back into an 80-minute role, buy period, plays round 13 against the Dragons. He's just one I've got my eye on because I just love his attacking upside. He gets through plenty of work. Remember last year we didn't know if he was going to go back to the middle or play limited minutes. If I can nab him in a couple of weeks at 550K, I think I'm going to pick him up as a smoky through that origin period.
Yeah, I don't mind that. And I think just to add to you, and I always think the exact same thing, but the more I think about it, we've got no confirmation on his role. I think we've got all the fucking confirmation in the world, to be honest with you.
We do now. We haven't in the past.
Yeah. We do like now. It's just he's going to be on that left edge and that is what it is. Yeah, it's an interesting one. Let's move to the Titans and the Seagulls, 5:30 p.m. on the Gold Coast. Timmy, is there any little sniff of an upset here?
I mean, the Dragons towed the Seagulls up a few weeks ago, so yeah, there is.
I reckon they're a serious chance up there. They've got to just bounce back at some point.
I mean, the Titans almost beat the top four premiership heavyweights, Canberra Raiders, on the weekend, so they can beat the lowly Seagulls, sure.
Let's not forget it's Dez as well, and Dez knows this side pretty well, so he'll also know whatever their Achilles heel is, he'll know it.
Manly also, Penrith into travelling over to New Zealand against the Warriors. They've had two very tough weeks.
Yep, very tough weeks. Yeah, I reckon this one sniffs of an upset. Titans, Phil Sami named at fullback, AJ at 5'8", Cleese Haas 13, Fifita on the edge. He obviously came off the bench last week. Another name that I'm very interested in, Timmy. I thought he looked
absolutely gassed last week, and I thought, oh, geez, he's not going too well. Then I checked the Supercoach score, 70 fucking one. What is doing?
And, yeah, on that, his base, mate, he's come out the first couple of weeks of the season and based, I think it was 59 and 61 or something. So the work rate is there coming back from injury. Massive, 59 and 55, I should say. Enormous.
Still.
Really tough draw coming up with Manly, Warriors, Storm. Then goes into Cowboys, Knights, give or take, Broncos. But tough draw doesn't really worry me for Dave Fifita. They just go to him more and more and more. So, yeah, one to keep an eye on.
I mean, when
not
you
not one to keep an eye on. The question is when.
Yeah, when. Yeah, exactly right. But I think the big question around when is how close to Origin do you want to be spending big on Fifita?
Yeah, and the, I suppose the one thing about it is I know last year I think he – because I owned him and he got rested after Origin 1 and then he had – no. Got like rested and then if the next game got played off the bench or something for a real lowly score. But then after Origin 2 or after Origin 3, he came out, played his 80 minutes. Like the Titans, if they are any chance of making the 8, need David Feeder playing every minute that he can.
Yeah.
You talked about an upset. I won't be tipping Manly in this one, but – sorry, I won't be tipping the Titans in this one, but there could be 8 million points scored.
Coward.
You're tipping the Titans.
What's that?
You're tipping the Titans.
I'll be taking them at the start. I reckon they get very close.
I'm a coward and you're tipping Manly.
Speaking of Fifita needing to play big minutes to make the 8, they might need Fifita to play big minutes to make the 16 at the moment, the poor old Titans. They're in all sorts,
yeah, you're right.
So fingers crossed. For Manly, Jason Saab returns, first game since Las Vegas. I feel like I've only just recovered from Vegas as well. Ruben Garrick at centre, Matty Lodge returns, Corey Waddell in the 2RF. Burbo out of this side with his hammy. Looks like he's going to return in 3 weeks' time.
Pain in the ass because he just started coming good again, played 8, was about to play 80 2 weeks in a row, scored well, scored a ripper of a try off DCE on the weekend, but unfortunately, you got to probably cash in for 70K.
I think as much as he was going better, I think it was a bit of a mirage personally. Like, what were they going to do when they brought Garrick back in? He was obviously going to, like, go back to the edge. And
back
I don't think
edge.
He was going to play 80 minutes. I think he was going to play 50-odd minutes. I don't know. I think Burbo's so fucking frustrating.
So annoying.
For years, I've just been looking at him going, if he just gets a good injury run, he'll kill it. And gets
can't
a decent
get
injury run, and he doesn't really do himself that many favours.
Yeah. Even now, regardless of if he went back to the edge for 60 minutes, like he had a break even of 4, I'm like, cool, I'll take another 30, 40K. Something always happens, doesn't it?
Always. Bronx and the Durs on Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. from Suncorp. Nothing really touched on here. I wrote down Willison on the bench, Sailor's there as well. I like that they're carrying a hooker and Sailor for Willison at least to make a bit of bicky, but yeah.
It's weird.
It's weird, like, especially when you're taking on this Raiders side.
With one of the best packs in the competition, like, you do you, Kevy, but it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Takura or someone come in for Sailor.
Yeah, but makes sense.
As it stands, yeah, great for Willison.
For the Raiders, nothing to really talk about there outside of no Hopewate. So James Schiller continues to make us bicky, one of the unsung heroes of all time. I'll tell you what, God, he could make some money if he works out just where to stand in defence. Do himself huge favours.
Just hold that spot.
Just hold the spot, bro.
You know what? Just hold it for 2 more weeks. I don't care.
That's all I need.
If he scores 50 or 60 odd this week, which is an ask against the Broncos, it'd be 250K in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it'd be unreal. Sensational. Cat didn't want to buy him. let's move to the Canterbury Bulldogs. They are taking on the Newcastle Knights, 2 p.m. at Accor Stadium. For the Doggies, got a couple of interesting changes here, mate. Blake Taff returns to the side, not at fullback. He returns on the bench. They move Connor Tracy to fullback, Critter back into the centres. I don't hate it, to be honest with you. I think it's just an interesting – I didn't see it coming this week, to be honest with you.
Isn't it funny that you and I were quite vocal at the start of the season saying we thought Blake Taff, like, oh, look, he goes right, but we saw him more as a backup fullback.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have started him there, but then he actually like started to impress. He was turning the tables. And in that Roosters game before he had that concussion and missed last week, he was playing some good footy. And now he doesn't get picked. It's like, I'm a bit with you. Like I like the setup of the team and what they've done. And I think the way Bronch and Sherry's come in the last couple of weeks, I'd be keeping him as well. I think he's been outstanding.
Yeah.
Where does Bronson Cherry sit as a buyer for you, mate? Because I would love to own him, but the cash generation coming through now is so good. You've got a bloke like Iro who's about 130, 140K cheaper. He's on that left edge where Kikau is just destroying at the moment. I mentioned last night on the Playbook Potty that I feel like Sherry is someone that in a month's time you're going to go, geez, I wish I got him when he's 550K and killing it. But unfortunately, there's more pressing buys this week.
Yeah, and look, if he was 245K, different conversation. Yeah. I think for me there's just too many other options that I find appealing. And, mate, I also think, and, you know, I'm looking around at people's teams and, you know, I'm looking at all the cheapies they've got and going, yeah, okay, but, like, fuck, how many trades have you got left? Like, it's all good and well to chase all these guys, but I just, like, for me, I'm comfortable with where my team is at, that I don't need to chase every single one of them.
It's me and Iro this week.
Well, yeah, and
I've got the decision to make. Is it too good to be true, or am I like, do I need this? Because I want some points, baby.
Yeah. We'll get to that soon. Get to that conversation soon, but it is an interesting one. Max King named on the extended. I would assume that if he is anywhere above 15% sweet to play, he'll be there. Surely. I do find it interesting, mate, Hayward and Taff on the bench when you consider the middles they're lacking. Yeah. What do you do though? Do you brush Hayward and just play Taff, or does Taff miss the side?
I'm just looking at the fact that they've got so many utilities in it. Oh, I mean, there's got a few injured utilities, but Jamin Salmon there covers the halves. He covers centre. They've got Crichton there who can go to fullback. Kiddos who can go to fullback. I don't really see where they need Blake Taff on the bench.
Mm.
So, but I would have thought one of Hayward or Taff would drop out for whether it's Liam Knight, you know, Turpin played 13 last week, Max King, one of these blokes, because it's a weird bench. Great for Sam Hughes if they run out like that.
Yeah, Sam Hughes and Curran, big winners there.
Yeah.
Unreal. Got to feel sorry for Blake Taff. I mean, when he was going like an absolute buster, dropping balls all over the place, they backed him into the cows come home.
Yeah.
As soon as he plays good footy and he gets knocked the fuck out, which is out of his control, he misses the side.
Harsh, tough, isn't it?
Yeah, tough.
I was doing a bit of like early origin buy planning and just having a look at a few different players. And the more and more I looked at Josh Curran with his jewel and obviously that all-important front row, I just feel like he's going to be one of them blokes I hold all year.
Yep.
And he just does a job, knocks out his 50 to 60 at front row, happy days.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, his attacking stats haven't really come yet either.
No, they've been next to nothing.
He's got huge attacking potential. And I reckon putting the 13 on him, I might just unlock it.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see how he goes. For the Knights, no real changes here. 1 to 17. Kalen Ponga sounds like he is sweet and raring to go off the back of whatever the hell that was last week. That was insanity. Sharks and the Cows, 4 p.m. from Shark Park. For the Sharkies, Sammy Stone Street makes his debut. Very, very exciting young player. Great to see him get a chance. No Katoa. Talakai on the bench. Hamlin Nuele returns on the bench. Rudolph on the extended. Will we talk about it now or?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so it's great to see Teamless Tuesday. Ito holds that centre spot. It's fantastic. That's unreal. Got me very excited. But the reality is Talakai's sitting on the bench. Hamlin Welle comes in. Rudolph also on the bench. Now, I'm not sure if Ito earned that centre spot because he was going so good that Craig Fitzgibbon couldn't ignore him, or if it was Iro's a very good player, we can put him in there. We're short on middles right now with all the injuries we've got. Let's shift Talakai to the bench. We know that Talakai can play as a middle forward. He's done it on a number of occasions throughout his career. I'm just very nervous, Timmy, and of course the Supercoach gods have just gone fucking whoosh go and given us the last game of the week that we're not going to know until 3:05 p.m. on Sunday afternoon whether Ito actually plays yet or not, which, one, I'm sure people would probably be looking at Ito having their 17 to starters, but you're also going to spend a trade on him. You know, if Sam Stonestreet comes out and absolutely brains it, he could jump Ito if he's not in that spot. Like, there's just so much to worry about and so much to think about with this situation. I have got no idea what to do.
Yeah, I don't either. And the one that stands out for me is just 16 minutes for Sifo Talakai last week. I'm like, Sifo Talakai is more than a 16-minute player in the NRL. He's a gun. So, yeah, there's concern there. Finucane due back probably next week as well. The other thing with Eero, 46 in his from last week, but the week before that he had his 97 in his first game of the season against the Raiders. That drops out of his rolling average after this week. So if he does come out and goes, you know, 30 to 40 this week, the break in will still be low enough, but it will even out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
He could also come and get 80 and it could just fly and be a ton of money incoming. But, you know, if it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, I would just lock and load it and wouldn't even think twice because I'm like, I need that cash gen. I don't really need – I'm not desperate for the cash generation now. I've got it coming through the rest of my team and a lot of players. So I'm like, I'm a bit scorned by the Blaze Talangi a couple of weeks ago as well, earning 70K off him and just going, is this just another Talangi situation?
Yeah.
Look, with the negative 76 break even, I don't think it's going to go too far wrong. I just don't want to make two trades for like 100K.
Yeah, and he's one guy that, you know, I can just see it playing out that you end up holding him, you end up buying him, and then you just sit there with Eero in your side and, you know, he'll play here and there and you'll make money as it goes on. But the other thing as well, like it's not like during Origin, like none of their outside backs are going to go play Origin. So a spot won't present itself there either. Like he has to earn that spot and hold it.
Can he play wing?
Yeah, I'm sure he can.
Has he at all?
Or
is
I've only seen him play centre, but I mean, I'm sure he could handle himself there. But this Sam Stone Street, they have huge wraps on. He's a tall, big body. So, if a wing spot opened up, I do wonder if maybe they would go with Stone Street over. Yeah,
because that was my question. I'm like, if he could slot onto the wing easily enough, he still might only be one injury to their starting, you know, centre wing from playing. And I'm like, you know, that'll happen. But if he's only at centre and Stone Street becomes ahead of him on the wing, well, that's like, all right, maybe he's down. That could be end up down in the pecking
order. Yeah, I'm not confident enough to say he is definitely one injury away.
Now, you've got him on speed dials. Give him a buzz and ask him.
Well, yeah. No, he keeps his cards pretty close to his chest, unfortunately. Bastard. Give us more. All right, let's so that's where we're at with that. I think you're just all going to have to make your own vibe call.
We don't know. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, and no one does. Let's move to the Cowboys, mate. Valame comes in on the wing for Murray Taulagi. Thank fuck I didn't make that trade. And Jack Goz, named on the bench, reportedly about to be involved in a player swap to go to the Brisbane Broncos. So it might be a little farewell for the great Jack Goz, who's collecting quite a kit bag throughout his career now. Yeah, kit king, doing good things. Mate, Valame, I absolutely love the guy. I think he's such a good footballer. God, I was disappointed to see 670K next to his name.
Killed it. Because Taulagi, I believe, 3 weeks or something it might be.
Yeah.
But if he kills it, he could easily hold a spot. And they've got two tougher weeks coming up. Sharkies at Shark Park into the Panthers in Townsville. But then after that, their run going into Origin period, so good.
Yeah.
Super pod.
Okay. Blue Wealth Property, Wednesday, the 1st of May. How to pay off your mortgage with an investment property. That one's live at Sydney Olympic Park and via the webinar. That's 6:30 p.m. if you're in the room, 7 p.m. if you are online there in the webinar. The link is in the description. We've also got Wealth Through Property. Now, that's over 3 nights, 3 of the absolute best. Little Larry Emder there for the Blue Wealth Property Group. Learn everything you need to know about building wealth through property and how Blue Wealth use a research process to identify the best investments for your financial future. So it's a rural roadshow. It's a little bit like the bloke country tours, Timmy.
It is.
Which I'm sure they'll be having as much fun as we did. Still recovering. So the rural roadshow. Blue Wealth visits the central west of New South Wales. They go to Orange on Tuesday, the 7th of May. Hotel Carnabolas, I want to say. Sweet. 6:30 p.m. Then we go to Bathurst. That one's at Bathurst Panthers, Wednesday the 8th of May. That'll be at 6:30 p.m. as well. And then they're in Dubbo at the Western Plains Cultural Centre on Thursday the 9th of May, 6:30 p.m. as well. I'll tell you what, Timmy, there's been some rugby league talent come out of Orange, Bathurst and Dubbo.
I'll tell you what, Guru. There's a lot of – we get found out pretty quickly whether we're – country or city when we try and pronounce names, and I say some stupid like Sydney suburbs and stuff, but there's a lot of people in Bathurst out there that have gone Bathurst, What's Bathurst? Did he go on Guru's a city slicker? A lot of great footy names out of there. And yeah, top of the pops, Jackie White and Orange.
Yeah, shout out to the people of Orange. So that's Tuesday, 7th of May, Wednesday, 8th of May, Thursday, 9th of May. Head along and join Morts for their dad jokes on tour and learn everything you need to know about building wealth through property. Wednesday, 15th of May, the last one there, looking into the future here, wealth through property. That's live in Melbourne at the Crowd Promenade, South Bank, Melbourne Storm territory. Mahe Fanua territory.
Oh, Mahe.
What a throwback.
What a Supercoach sensation that never was.
Never was.
When you sign with the Tigers, that it's like, get him in.
Yeah.
Mate, also the great Mort, Andrew Mortimer, taking part in a 3 kilometre walk for the Concussion Legacy Foundation. It is this Sunday at the Doggies and Knights game at Accor Stadium at 2 p.m. Doing a 3K walk, finishes on field inside the stadium. From there, the club, the Doggies, are going to make a donation to the Concussion Legacy Foundation. So awesome stuff from Morts there.
Yeah, absolutely love that from Morts. Getting on the Foot Falcon there. Good to see. you can, if you go to Morts' Instagram, whatnot, Blue Wealth Property, we'll share some stuff as well. There'll be a link to for the fundraiser and all that sort of stuff. So shout out to you, Morts, doing very, very good things there. Speaking of doing good things, let's do some average things. You got your deep dive, mate.
Average?
Bang average.
Spare me.
Wow.
Who we, can you introduce the player for me or what? Who are we up to?
We're going
to
go for who's who and the Greg Mars Hugh first. Yeah. Take us away.
Okay, so I mentioned I have some Hamiso money to spend. So I've got pick of the CT Dubs. I already own Val Holmes. Last week when Margie returned, there was a price drop incoming and I went, sweet, with this Knights run to come, I really wanted to get him. Comes out and plays on the right edge at the Knights. And I just went, this really pissed me off because I was so keen to get him in. And the Knights, notorious for being left side, strong side. Ponga does his best work there. They're just very dominant there. But then I was like, you know what? Dom Young did have a lot of success out there outside Dane Gagai. So I was like, let's do a bit of a dig into it. So what I did was, because Caelan Ponga started the year last year at 5'8", that seems like an eternity ago, and then he missed a big chunk of games due to head knocks, I looked at the 12-game stretch between round 13 and 26. By this point, Ponga was back to fullback, went through that period and killed it. Dom Young, in that period, averaged 65.5 points with 10 tries in 12 games. So it's a pretty good strike rate. If we're considering like Marju on that right edge now, you also consider Dom Young in that period had 23 in base, Marju base 32 per game, tackle bust, a few other things. Marju, you can bunt that 65 up a bit. So on that Sam size, be pretty good. This season, the Knights have scored 3 tries down the right edge compared to 6 on the left. Last season, 43% of their tries came down the left compared to 35% down the right. So again, it's a pretty substantial difference. Basically, what I took from it, mate, was that I definitely want Marju on the left. If he was on the left, I'd be locking him in this week. On the right, it's not entirely detrimental and he can still score well. And even last week when he played on the right, he didn't score very well, but his base was great. His work rate was great. I'm interested in him still, but I just wish he was on the left. How do you feel about it?
I think he'll move back to the left soon, personally. I wonder, mate, if, and maybe I'm getting a little bit tinfoily, had a little bit of Kempy about me.
I love that.
But I wonder if potentially bringing him back from injury on the right might have had something to do with it being a right-hand injury. And maybe I'm getting real tinfoily, but I reckon there's actually a chance that that played a role in this. And I personally think he'll end up back on the left. Let's get real tinfoil in. You Supercoach players will get this and love this. There was a bit of content the Newcastle Knights put up yesterday, and I actually forget who they were talking to. You know what? It was Caelan Ponga. He put up a video of Bradman Best kicking goal from the sideline. He hit it like an absolute fucking shocker. But if you watch him, he's kicking it from the left sideline, and you can see over in the left corner they're kicking bombs to Marshu, standing in the left corner, and I'm zooming in. I'm going, I'm sure that's Greg the Leg. That's him. Maybe there's a chance he goes back to the left. I personally think it makes sense for him to go back to the left. I think he will eventually, but maybe I'm just a biased draft owner as well.
I love scouting social media for players and where they're positioned.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think if it was. There was one last week. It might have been like an RTS and working out or someone, I can't remember who it was, but and I could just tell from it was an individual photo of them, but they were set up in a pose, ready to run. And you just tell from the way they were facing, I'm like, all right, he's on the left edge. And I swear, it's quite fun doing the stalking.
It's unreal. Sense,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, on the left edge, I'm buying Marju. Let's say he does stay on the right. How do you feel about him as a buy? Because he's also got a really high break even and there's money dropping. I'm happy to take on that break even if he's on the left. I'm more nervous on the right.
Yeah, I'm heaps more nervous on the right, which is ludicrous because, like, imagine a world where the strike CTW you want to buy moves to the wing that had the top try scorer last year and you're filthy about it.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. Yeah, it's it makes no sense whatsoever, but I hate it on the right.
Yeah. And I'm the same. Like, the numbers aren't that bad, but I don't feel good about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd much rather him on the left despite what all the numbers say. I'm not looking at him this week. Yeah, I want to see him on the left.
Yeah. No, not fair. I have a decision to make, but all good.
Is he like a serious one for you?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Okay.
Well, mate, Eero's actually number two on your speed dial and Jackson Hastings is number one, so get your shit sorted.
Leave it with me.
Thanks, mate.
Shout out, Roo Crew. Stay tuned. Some of that sweet, sweet mail. Okay. Mate, you got Grant here. I imagine that is of the Harrison variety. It's been a slow start.
Hasn't it?
Yep.
You know what that means? Cheap.
Cheap, yes.
So a few things around Harry Grant and averaging 60 for the season. And to put it in context, I've got Danny Levi there who, you know, showed his true supercoach colours when that try-scoring spree finished about 18 points in 58 minutes last weekend. So with his break-even going high, he's made some good cash. It's all been fun and games, some nervous times, but he's done a job. But, you know, there's a risk of him starting to drop cash significantly from this week onwards if you can't get rid of him. Outside of potentially Jaden Brayley, there's not a lot of great options. So I'm like, all right, I've got to move him onto someone because he could drop 100K despite being a 60-minute hooker. And I'm looking at Harry Grant for next week. He's only averaging 60 this season, which is remarkable considering I think he's averaged over 70 the last three seasons or something. He hasn't scored a try. He has only one try assist and one try contribution this season for what's been a pretty red hot Storm outfit. He has one line break all year and two line break assists. They are tiny attacking stats for a bloke of his calibre. Going a little bit further into it, I sort of went, all right, if you don't pick up Harry now, we're going to get close to that origin period where he tends to score lesser and has some rest. There's a chance of him getting rested, missing games, etc. But they have buys in round 13 and round 19, the Melbourne Storm. So they're two origin weeks where he would have been out anyway.
Yep.
After origin 1, they play on the Sunday. He gets maximum turnaround. After origin 2 and 3, they play on the Saturday. So it's still a decent enough turnaround. So that they've already had a bye in round 4 or 3, I think it was the Storm. So in terms of the schedule going forward for the Storm, Origin players and Harry Grant, it couldn't be much better. So just a few things to consider, but Harry Grant's one that I'm pretty keen on next week for Danny Levi, or there's also Lassic owners out there as well.
Yeah, and I think off the back of that, I think one thing that I like about Harry Grant this year heading this Origin period, he's the captain of the Melbourne Storm now. I reckon that only pushes him to set an example. To back up.
It's what the Storm have done for a long time.
And they've had, you know, pretty handy captains as hookers before who have backed up consistently from Origin. I think Harry will take pride in that. My question to you is though, Timmy, and we're in different boats but similar boats. Our boats are tied together in that we both have Danny Levi. You've got Reece Robson. I've got Appy, who I personally think both will play Origin this year.
Mm.
Do you agree?
Probably, yeah.
Probably. It's the team that I would pick anyway.
Yeah.
Are you okay to run with two Origin hookers during that period?
At the risk of them both being rested, say, after Origin?
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Yeah,
you're left with no hooker, essentially.
Obviously getting your top 13 scoring players for around 13, 16 and 19. So fine on those weeks.
Yep.
The risk is if they don't back up.
Yep.
I would back... I need to do more research on when the Cowboys and Robson play after those Origin weeks because if they're sort of Sunday games, Saturday games to a lesser degree, I'd feel pretty good about him backing up.
Yep.
The other thing is with both Harry Grant and Rhys Robson, they're both shared roles in Origin. They're not playing 80 minutes. Like
fair. Yep.
Grant's sharing with Hunt, Robson to be sharing with like an Appy or someone. Like Robson could play 30 minutes. Yep. He's backing up from that.
It's fair.
Harry Grant plays 50 or 60 probably. So again, potentially a few
could
less.
Could play less.
Could play less. So that helps.
That's a good point actually.
And I think worst case scenario, they both don't back up in around 14, 17, 20. Again, got to look further ahead of the draw, but you know, you get an AE in that those weeks anyway. Sorry, like a free shot at the VC loop, not the end of the world. I think I'd be okay with it, yeah.
Yeah, the more I look at it, mate, the more I think, fuck, if I was to go Danny Levi to Harry Grant this week or next week, I would then have Grant and Appy. That might be me done at hooker for the year. Until I nuff out someone with about 6 weeks to go and free up a heap of bicky and pissed him off and absolutely ram raid him towards the back end of the season. You heard it here first. And, mate, it would almost lock me in for front row forward as well. If I had AFB, May and Curran, I think I'd be sweet.
Yeah.
So that's very appealing to me.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm like, the fact that with the schedule that I just read out around Harry Grant, you're just holding for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
There's not like, even if he does get rested in one of them games, so be it, you still hold him. It's not a shit schedule where like he could get rested two games after Origin or whatever it might be. So, yeah, I'd feel good about it. I'm pretty tempted.
So when we have a look at it this week, mate, Danny Levi, I think he's got a break even of about 55 odd. Harry Grant's got a break even of 82. Is this the week you have to make a move, or do you think you can wait till next week?
I think look, as bad as he's been, but the 18 points last week for Levi, he's still playing 60 minutes. If he can come in at 25-30, gets a little drop. You know, Harry Grant's also got the Roosters Thursday night, 7:50. It's also a tough game. So there's every chance that he can drop a little bit of cash as well, especially the way he started the season. So with more pressing trades, which we'll get to our trades shortly, that will have cash generation involved in them, I'm happy to wait a week on it. I'll tell you the other thing. Also, I wouldn't mind another look at Jaden Brayley this week. He's starting to build to big minutes. He's 311K. If he comes out and plays his 70 to 80 minutes this week, his base increases a little bit. If you can look a little bit sharper in attack, maybe a little Levi to Brayley for about 60-odd K there. That's on the cards as well.
Yeah. Look, I think Brayley's an interesting one. I do think people are getting potentially a little bit overexcited, to be honest with you. Like he's played 60-plus minutes the last 2 weeks. He scored 37 and 42. Like, is that 311K?
Yeah, that's why I want to have a look. He's also returning from a lot of different injuries. Yeah. So I'm like, you know what, maybe he's just getting a few minutes in the legs.
But in saying that, when you look at Newcastle over the next few weeks, Canterbury, Dolphins, Warriors, Tigers, Titans, Bulldogs again after the bye, it's not a bad little run.
Yeah. Cowboys and Robson after Origin 1 play the Saturday. After Origin 2, they play the Sunday afternoon. That's also against the Panthers, who I think last year they rested players after the Origin games. And then after Origin 3... Round 20, Sunday again at 6:15. So it's a great schedule for Robson.
Like, it's wild, but looking at round 20. Love it. Love it, though. Wouldn't change it for the world. Mate, Gussie Crichton, we already spoke about him briefly before. I think I will buy him this week. I think Joe Chan was the last nail in the coffin that I needed to move me to Angus. I think he's got potential to be a season-long keeper. What are your thoughts? What do you got over there?
Just his history, mate. He's a Supercoach player. We know that the last 18 months haven't been great ones for Gussie Crichton on off the field, but he looks in a good place, back playing great 40, 80 minutes the last 2 weeks. In that time, he based 59 and 65. But most importantly, mate, he's one of the best Supercoach 2RS we've had over the past 6, 7, 8 years, whatever it might be. Those numbers... 2022, he averaged 66 in 75 minutes per game. Go back to 2021, he averaged 75. 2020, he averaged 76. He's so elite there when he's anything near his best. 459K, a break even of -21. As I said, back to playing 80 minutes. He's 459K, so we could be picking up a keeper at that price.
Yeah, I got a feeling we might be.
Yeah.
Mate, Dylan Edwards, talk to me.
It's not, by no means is this a deep dive, but I did think it was worth talking about because we never really talk about Dylan Edwards because he's not in our top tier of super coach fullback options.
Yep.
It's more one for the future. And, mate, he has grown another leg and you've seen it in his gameplay since Nathan Cleary's been out. And it's translated Supercoach-wise with scores of 120 and 119. It's just one I wanted to flag for if later in the season or whenever down the track Nathan Cleary misses a stretch of games, because he's just taken on a completely new role in this side attacking-wise, and I think he'll be a great pod play if Cleary's to miss a stretch of sort of 4 or 5 weeks. It was hard doing a bit of a – I did start to have a look back into his history without Cleary, but a lot of it's been around origin period when other players have rested and hasn't been the same Penrith outfit. So just one to monitor because, mate, it's been huge the last few weeks for Penrith and one for down the track.
All right, let's talk about my boy, Jermaine Joliffe. Two tries in 3 weeks. Scored 65 in base on the weekend.
Yeah, so again, just another small one, but we touched on him a few weeks ago when there was the injury to Tino Fasua-Malawi and how it was going to impact that Titans forwards and the minutes. And we sort of flagged Joliffe and said, you know, there could be some good scores incoming. Since that time, he has a three-round average of 71 points. Most impressively, 94 on the weekend in 68 minutes. Of course, inflated a little bit there due to extra time against the Raiders. But yeah, 65 in base. He made 50 tackles. Look, I think the time has passed to buy him because he's made a bit of cash since that time. But two tries in 3 games. If you picked him up a few weeks ago, laughing.
Yeah, and look, I think it is worth noting, obviously, with that Raiders game, especially with a guy like Joliffe, heavily inflated from an extra 10 minutes where no one goes outside the tram lines and they're just setting up for field goals. So you do need to take that into consideration. But still, you know, if you take out that 10 minutes, you're probably looking at, you know, 55 in base in about 60 minutes. Yeah. So it's still pretty juicy. But, yeah, I kind of think that if you weren't on Joliffe 3 weeks ago, it's probably not worth it.
Yeah, you'll pick him up as a bloke to plug in his front row forward hole and do a job, which he has done. I think he'll continue to do, and owners will be like, sweet, I'll keep him there until I have to move him on, which whenever that might be. But, yeah, I wouldn't be buying now.
All right, mate, let's talk about our trades for this week. And I wouldn't say I'm all at sea, but I'm not all at land, let's be honest here. I am thinking I want Zach Lomax. I don't love that he's been named at centre this week, mate, but I want Lomax. So I'm thinking about going Jack Bostock to Lomax. Bostock's done incredibly well for us, but I think the time has come, especially with Hammer out. I'm going to make that move. That'll free up a little bit of Bicky for me. I will then be making a decision on whether I go Lane.
Bostock to Lomax will free up some Bicky.
No, sorry. Bostock to Lomax will not free up some Bicky. What I need to free up Bicky is
It'll significantly decrease Bicky.
Yeah, it'll fist me. What I need to do is decide whether I go May or Burbo to Itto. I'm going to make a decision there. With my depth and everything I've got at the moment, I'm actually considering May just to free up that little bit more cash. But I do like the Panthers' draw over the next few weeks. So I've got to make that decision, and it might – what might force me to make that decision, Timmy, is that extra 70K that I would free up going May, what else it allows me to do in other places.
So like moving forward
or this week? Yeah, to be able to go to a Harry Grant in 2 weeks or to be able to that sort of stuff. I know how you feel about May, and I agree with you, but I just think there are players that I want more in this league.
You know what? It's not even the May thing. Like, yes, upcoming games, Tigers, Cowboys, Bunnies, Dogs. But it's you've got a strike centre, loosely used term strike because they go to the right edge a lot more, but a very good centre for the best team in the NRL with a soft draw who's fit and firing. Burbo, who you just mentioned before about he's missing minimum 3 weeks due to a hamstring. He's not even playing. It's a 60-70K difference. Surely you hold May of those two. If it was 150K difference and you wanted the Bicky there, I'm going, I can kind of see it more, but it's only 70K.
Yeah, but I mean, mate, it's so tight that 70K is the difference for me in getting guys.
Yeah, well, you do you.
No, I will. Where's my fucking trophy? Where's my trophy? God damn it. Yeah, so I'm making that decision, and then I'm seriously considering boosting this week. And that's where I would probably go a Fine Fuiaki or a Sean Lane to Angus. One of the two. Ideally, I'd rather sell Fine Fuiaki probably. But once again, that's where I'm not sure if my cash is going to allow me to do it. I may have to use that extra 70K to get to him.
That 70K allows you to make the better third trade this week, I get it. But if you're doing it for like – no, because I thought – you didn't mention you were potentially boosting before. You were saying next week.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm like – cash will come in the next week ahead of your next week's trade and when you're planning ahead. But if it's to directly help that third trade this week, I was unaware of any boost. Still don't like it, but I see where you come from there.
Yeah, sorry. I gave you too much credit there of assumed super coach knowledge. the other one that I am considering this week but I don't think I can make it work is going Danny Levi to Harry Grant. But unless I can use a fifth trade boost this week, I don't think I'll be able to do that. So I might have to wait a week on that. But that's ballpark what I'm thinking, mate.
Interesting that so Gus Crichton isn't locked in?
He probably is. Probably. I need to go down to Itero to be able to get the money to go Gus.
Yeah.
So I want to lock him in. And I've got three boosts left, which I – probably coming into yesterday, I thought, oh, fuck, I really want to save them. But the more I hear about, you know, people that are at the top that have used so many boosts, the more I'm like, maybe this is the time to use it. But I'm going to be fucking beside myself if in a boost week I get Gus and I get fucking Itto and then Itto's playing for the fucking Newtown Jets next week and then Gus is coming off the bench again next week. I'll just be beside myself. But that's probably what I'm leaning towards doing.
Yeah. Neds have just dropped you to $1 to boost this week. Listen to that conversation.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Mate, for me, I am Josh Kerr to Angus Crichton.
Yep.
I'm pretty well locked that one in. Uncle Wayne does not want to give Kerr steady minutes. So he's made a bit of cash and done a job, but time to go. And then my other trade. Okay, so it's where it gets interesting. Hammer. 695K, dropped a bit with that injury last week. I already own Val, got Roger, can basically get who I want. And I'm genuinely eyeing off Marju still. If there's any word of him playing left, I think that'd make my decision for me. The other one that I know you're not that crash hot on him, but I just love that Warriors right edge. They're so good. They have an upcoming round of games against the Dragons, the Titans and then the Knights. Dallin Watene's a Lesniak at 713K. I just think tries are going to flow in for DWZ. So I'm tossing between those two at the moment. But in terms of Primo, CT Dubs, is there anything else you think I'm missing or that you'd be looking to go to?
I actually I don't mind the play for DWZ, to be honest with you. I tipped him for a hat trick on the weekend. He only got two. I was fucking filthy on that. No, mate, I don't mind that move. Obviously, Lomax is the one that I really like. Mm. I've got him in my draft side, so I've been watching him very closely, mate. They just, every single set, if they get to third tackle and nothing's happened, they just go, let's just kick the ball into his postcode. Yeah. And he's coming down with it every single time. I saw a few people on social media getting upset that, you know, after Lomax had come down, throw an offload, the Dragons would fuck it up, he'd get mad at the people around him. I get it. Lomax is executing a 9 out of 10 play. Yeah. Three times a game, or just catch the fucking ball. Mate, just be alive around.
That's where
him.
You're going. Sorry to be harsh to him, but Tyrell Sloan has to be there.
Has to be there.
Exactly. They said they do it all the time. Lomax inevitably gets over the top, whoever it is, catches and flicks it back. Sloan should just be going, thank you.
Yeah, I'd be frustrated too if I was Lomax.
I have this internal like bias that keeps me away from CT Dubs from lesser teams in the competition. No matter what the player themselves is doing, but like it's so hard to deny the numbers that Lomax is throwing out there. Yeah, I can't knock that either, mate. I just want a piece of that. Dallin, at the back end of last year, I think we both owned him for mixed results. He was so exciting to own on the right wing just because the Warriors just kept going. They kept going there and they're unreal.
All right, I've just had a quick look at my trades and I think I know what I'm going to do. I think I've worked it out. So I'm going to go Bostock, Burbo, Sean Lane. I'm going to move them to Lomax, Itero, and Angus Crichton.
Like it.
They're the moves I'm making. If I go Fine Fuiaki over Lane, I can't afford it. If I go Berber, if I go – like I have to pretty much do those three. So, fuck, Sean Lane's been disappointing.
He has. Even like – what's he gone? Last 3 weeks, 50, 37, 62. Like for his price, that's sure that's all right. I just don't think he's looked good. I don't think he's hitting the line hard. He hasn't looked to get that offload away. I don't think he's looked good at all.
Yeah, it's been very disappointing.
And I don't know why. I'm like,
it's hard to put your finger on why.
He looks fit. He looks fine. He's playing 80 minutes. He's basing 42, which is just like, meh. I don't know.
So that's what I'm leaning towards doing at the moment. So if you're gun to head right now, you're bringing in a CTW this week. Who is it?
Probably Dallin.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That scares the shit out of me. Okay. Mate, captain options.
Cat.
This week.
Quick cat
trades. Oh, yeah, Kathmandu.
Trades.
Yeah, what are you doing? What are you thinking?
Look, been taking in all the information. I've got Sean Lane and I've obviously got Burbo. I've had him since the beginning and I feel like those two need to go. I don't know who I'm going to get in and I'm very wary of not copying and pasting anything that either of you two have said. So I'm just going to weigh out my options. Okay. I'm going to stew on it for a couple of days.
For what it's worth, Kat, I'm more than happy to hold Lane. Like even on the weekend, 50 points in 80 minutes, he had 50 in base.
Mm.
Like there's no attacking. This year's only attack's been a try in that Panthers game. I'm like, his base isn't great, but he's still 472K. Mm. I'm like, he's not causing me headaches. He's just not doing what we said earlier on at the start. He was like, worst case, he holds his value.
Yeah.
That's happened.
That's happened. Yeah.
Oh, and I have bigger things to worry about than Sean Lane because I still have Talagi and I still have Burbo. So I need to figure, and I have Viliami Fifita.
Yeah, I've got him too though, but he's...
I know they're placeholders, but
he's not playing, so if he starts playing, then I'm going to be in a bit of curry. Yeah. But
he also, Lane, plays round 13, that first major bye week, which is handy.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, so unconfirmed, but if people want to know, just DM me and I'll send you my trades, I don't know.
Like that. You will regret that. And if you want to know our trades, DM Kat too, she'll tell you.
I know that I've... either made it or it's that you guys don't respond to anything, but I get the odd DM that's, please, I need super coach help. I'm like, have you forgotten that I'm the rook? Like, I'm here as the unexperienced one. But I also got someone asking me through LinkedIn.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Shout out to Tony Hayek. Doing good things.
We have the odd chat about super coach, to be fair.
Love that. Unreal. All right. Captains, El Capitano. I am looking at Kalyn Ponga against Canterbury. But I'll tell you what, if Canterbury put in a good performance this week, I'm probably going to have to take Canterbury out of my target them for captain options.
Until they start to drop. Yeah.
Because, I mean, they've been really good the last few weeks. They kept Pappy to a reasonably quiet score. I know he had the sim min and whatnot, but they kept him to a reasonably quiet score. I think Canterbury, I'm not going to say dogs of war, but I think they are starting to show a little bit more grit than what I would have hoped when I'm playing them in Supercoach.
Oh, for sure, mate. They just went down to Melbourne, who were, you know, one of the premiership heavyweights. And after being battered the week before in horrid conditions and got done on the buzzer, basically, like they said, I'm still, just due to lack of middles and injuries and everything, I'm still happy to captain people against them. But if they do one more of these showings this week, I'm sort of just going to go, okay, we need to reassess this big time.
Now, I went straight to KP because I'm not a turbo owner and I will be hiding behind the lounge this week, very, very scared of what could occur. I imagine he's your best option.
Yeah, he's my captain. Who's your other fullback?
Pappy. Clive Churchill medalist.
Yes.
$750 fine over the weekend. That was a tough day at work for him.
Yeah.
He's lucky he wasn't suspended.
Fuck off.
Hip drop. Since when has a hip drop not been a suspension?
Please. Shout out to NRL. Doing a good job.
Turbo for me. Is there any concern around Ponga not goal kicking? Does that impact your decision?
Haven't thought about it. Now that I am. Not ideal. I actually don't have great captain options this week. I think it's one of those weeks. I mean, outside of Turbo, who else really jumps off the page at you this weekend?
I have particularly good matchups this week, which excites me a lot.
Like what?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'll go through them. Nico's got the Cowboys, who can't defend. Dill Brown and the Eels have the Dolphins. Granted, it's in Darwin. I have held Luke Brooks through those two tough weeks. He knocked out 55 and 49 against the Warriors and Panthers. Comes up against the Titans. I'm not saying he's a captain, but like just in terms of my general matchups.
Oh, I think you're selling him short there. I think you should captain him.
Roger and the Warriors have the Dragons. Taylor May, if he does feature this week, plays against the Tigers. I'm stoked with my matchups this week, yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
No, that was the most oversell I've ever fucking heard.
Why? You're not into it.
Yeah, I like they're good matchups. I don't reckon they're great matchups. Like I'm not petrified of any of those guys other than Turbo, to be honest with you. Maybe I'm off the mark, but yeah. Anyway, we'll see how it plays out. I'm sure it'll fist me. yeah, I probably KP VC into a Nico C. They're very late in the week. Am I going to be able to do anything with that? No, I'm not. Yeah, so I'm going to have to reassess that. I've got no idea what I'm going to do this week.
I think Nico C is a great play. Cows, Shark Park, four in Arvo.
You know, I'm considering an SJ captain.
SJ captain. Okay, St. George, yeah. Yeah,
because against the Dragons, that. I just feel like Warriors can do really well against them. There's some points to be scored.
I'll find out how he's feeling on Instagram for you. I'll send him a message.
Please.
Okay, I don't mind that. Yeah.
But I also have Turbo, so I'll probably end up just going with Turbo.
Oh, it's going to be a tough watch for you, Roo.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
We might be watching that together.
Did you start with...
won't be, I've decided.
You started with Turbo, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to start with him, and then I went over to Vegas and he looked fucking mint. And I thought, okay, got to get this guy in. So go on, Desi, get something out of your boys for me. Something.
Yeah, if you're a non-owner... How are the next few weeks going to be with Tommy Turbo for you with those fixtures?
Well, I've actually glued together our figurine. I've put it back to pieces to get a bit of reverse juju. Don't look at it, Caleb. Ruin the bit. But, yeah, it is going to be a nervous few weeks and it could be a fun few weeks for you guys. Could be some good content.
Titans, Eels at Brookie, Raiders at Brookie, Dolphins.
Have you guys been to Brookie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the vibe? I've never done a game at Brookie.
It's cool. Yeah.
Do you think that the opposition walks in and they can feel the weight of Brooksvale?
Of Brooksvale. I hope so. I don't know.
I've certainly hope the Titans will be feeling it. Oh, wait, are we in the Gold Coast?
We're on the Gold
Coast. Yeah, we're in the Gold Coast. Never mind.
I think that's actually better than
it's
being.
It's definitely
Brookvale.
Better. Yeah.
It's a fast track up there.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's a scary, scary fast track up there. I'll be cheering on the Titans. You best believe that. Okay. Are we done and dusted, Timbo?
Sorted, mate.
Sorted?
Mm.
Kathmandu, anything before we go?
Sorted.
Sorted. All right, we'll be back for the late show a little bit later tonight. I won't ask you to send your questions in. That'll be fucking stupid. Unless you can do it in the next 8 seconds.
For next
you don't
week.
Hear this. For next week, yeah. I'll make sure I get them in a little bit earlier next week as well. But thanks for joining us once again. Blue Wealth Property, all the links are in the description. Mortz has got his walk coming up as well. You'll find that on social media and whatnot. We'll be sharing a little bit around that as well. Thanks for joining us once again, legends, and we will see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.